I have a lot of thoughts on my mind, and when I was driving up Thursday, and I got to Martha Jack's, I told her, I said, I drove all this distance and couldn't get a single thing in my head, that my mind was just as blank could be. And just felt bewildered, you know, and usually I like to have a thought or two on my mind, so if I'm going, I feel like I'm going to church, I need to have a thought or two, you know, and I'm begging the Lord to show me something, you know, and I'm just dead. I had a little thought last night, wasn't much of one, when I come in here a while ago, that man right there said something and it just turned my mind on. And it just went all over me. And Brother Ralph, I'm going to say something in Deuteronomy first. I'm going to go to Samuel, but I want to go back to the second chapter of Deuteronomy and read a little bit first. Second chapter of Deuteronomy. Then when we turned and took our journey into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea, as the Lord spake unto me, and we could pass Mount Sinai many days, the Lord spake unto me, saying, you have compassed this mountain long enough, turn ye northward. I thought about that a lot when I was sitting right there, and it was just going and going all over me and all over me. You wonder sometimes how we spend a lot of time playing at something or confessing something or making believe at something. And we circle God's mountain round and round and round we go. And we don't seem to have the confidence that we need because we have an enemy that's working against us. We don't seem to have the confidence we need to go northward, to move on, you know, quit playing. You know, read about come boldly through the throne of grace. I read all these things, but then why am I timid? You know, what, Brother Ralph just, I mean, what Christ did for us, there ought not to be a timid bone in our body. I mean, really and truly, we ought to be standing on every windowsill and every wall and every top of and shouting to the top of our lungs. But we're timid because we have something. We have an enemy who keeps throwing the doubt or the fear in us. Now, I fear the Lord also, because I know the wrath of God. You can read about it in the Bible all you want. I have felt the wrath of God. I know what it feels like. I know when I'm down and out. I know when I'm not on the right path. I know it, and I can't deny it. And I can say I'm goody two-shoes as you want to, but God will reveal himself to you in a time that you don't want to be revealed to him. He'll just turn you all over and upside down. You know, I preached up there at the Conductor's Association. I said, when Jesus gets into your life gets turned around. Because you got to change. You've got to do something. But we're timid. You know, we're back up and we don't think about what God has done, what he has done, who God is, and then we go and take him for granted.
Right.
You know, God's got it. You know? Have you ever heard people in the church say, well, if God wants the church to have more members, God will send them? You know, you ain't got to do nothing. You know, well, Brother Gary, you don't need to stand up and preach in that case because he just sent who he wants to send. You know, and we were talking there a while ago. You know, we have to do, there's things that we have to do. Has nothing at all to do with eternal salvation. Don't anybody ever think that for one moment. Eternal salvation was set, took care of, the cross, the whole nine yards. But we have a job to do. We've got to turn and go northward. We've got to move on. We've got to get up. You know, we just can't sit down on what God has given us and think it's going to be all right. You know, there's got to be workers in the vineyard. You know, and the workers have got to be there. And the Lord has just blessed us so much with an understanding of the truth. But yet we want to just sit on it. You know, we don't want to take, we don't want to come boldly to the throne of grace. You know, I can't think of nothing better to do in my life is to sit down like the man, like you said a while ago, talk about the Bible with old Baptists. Man, I'm telling you, that's the best conversation you'll ever get in your life. Amen. You just sit down with a bunch of old Baptists and talk about the Bible. And talk about the goodness of the Lord. Well, I got to thinking about that when we were sitting there talking and Ralph was preaching right there. My mind was just racing and running and running and running. And I got to think about, you know, how we take things so for granted that God's going to take care of everything. You know, and He does. But God has put you here for a purpose. You have a job to do. Again, not eternal salvation. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about works that way. I'm talking about what God has in store for your life. Where you're headed, northward. You've been around and around the mountain long enough. You walked around and you walked around. Now it's time to move on. To go. To grow. To be more than what you are. Are you happy with just everyday mundane? Or do you want to grow in the grace? I personally want to grow in the grace. And I personally want to learn more of Him every day. Because I know I don't know much. I know very little. And I realize that the only way I'm going to have any knowledge is I've got to study. And I've got to work at it. You know, I said up there, you know, in the Catawba, He's not going to pour it in your head. It don't come that way. He says, grow. He says, learn. He says, show yourself. He's talking directly to us.
Yes, He is.
You know, He's done it all. He's done everything. You know, but He's talking directly to us. That we have got to get up and move. I thought about that and I got to thinking about David. David was bold. He was bold. But David didn't start out bold. David grew into the boldness of it. And that was what got me, and I'm going to go to 2 Samuel to the 5th chapter. I'm going to go down to the 17th verse. It says, and when the Philistines heard that they had anointed David king over Israel, all the Philistines came up too. I'm going to stop right there for a minute. I'm going to finish it in just a second. The enemy heard that David was anointed king. Now the enemy must be a little bit slacker in his thinking, because if you go back to the 1 Samuel, the 16th chapter, the 12th verse, I want to read that. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was a ruddy and with all of the beauty of cunning and goodly to look at. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. This is what anointed David. He was anointed by God. Amen. Here. Now, this is 1 Samuel. David, if you look at 2 Samuel, go to 5:12. He said, and David perceived that the Lord had established him king over all Israel. Think about that for a moment. David was in the field tending to the sheep. All the rest of Jesse's boys was brought before. He said, that ain't the one. He's not the one. He said, I got one more. A ruddy little lad out there in the field. A ruddy little boy. He said, well, bring him. He knew immediately that that was the one. And anointed him king of Israel. Now we know Saul was the king, but David was anointed there. Now we come down in time all through what took place. Y'all know the story. I'm not going to tell you the story, but this is, now the Philistines heard that David had been anointed king of Israel. David now was the CEO. He was the head man. And I was in charge. David's life, he was a fierce fighter, a warrior. And he didn't have anything much to worry about other than he was a fighter. And the Lord protected him and guided him in battle. But now he was in charge. And things was a little different. David fought Goliath. You know the story. You know, he stood before Goliath. So David was a man of courage. But he also had a fear of God. And David stood before Goliath. And now the enemy has come. The Philistine has come to David. It seems like when you start on this path that you take, and the anointing took some time ago, and God drawed you out, and you didn't really have enough sense when you were drawn out, and you started hearing something that really started moving you and changing you. But you didn't know what was going on, you know. Back when David was anointed, you know, what did he do? He went back to tend the sheep, you know. He didn't become king, you know. He went back. Something took place in David's life. Something took place in your life. Now, you're here now for a reason. You came out of the world. You came out of the West Howling Wilderness. Because something was drawing you, and you wasn't sure what was drawing you. But something kept bringing you out. Something kept moving you in a direction. It's time to go north. You know, that's what it's all about. And David here now was anointed king in the Philistine. The enemy heard of it. You know what's amazing about it? I tell people when you start talking about joining the church. And you know, that's probably the happiest time in your life is when you make that decision to join in the church. You know, you don't have a clue what kind of battle is ahead of you. Because just as soon as you come out of that water, your enemy, the Philistines, or the devil, whoever you want to call him, the first thing he's going to do is turn the heat up. He's going to turn the heat up. Because he knows now you have decided to turn northward. You've decided to move in a different direction. And not only that, you have confessed it before all the world when you came up out of that water. You've confessed it. So David here now was king, and the Philistines come to battle. And David did what David does. You know, David, he's a fighter. But now he's in charge. And I kind of feel, this is my personal feeling, you can, don't take fault with me, but I think David here had a little remiss here because he said, before David would fight the drop of a hat. It didn't matter to David, he'd just fight. But now David did something that was very important. David acquired of the Lord. Say, shall I go up to the Philistines? He says, wilt thou deliver them into my hands? The Lord said unto David, go up. Go up. Go up. You see, where I get in my trouble more than anything else is, I do what I think is right. You know. And I do it in the good intentions. You know. But I don't stop sometimes to inquire of God. Because I've been doing this all my life. You know, this job. I've been doing this. And I know what I got to do. So, I just take it for granted. It's all right. You know, but David stopped and inquired. He said, yes, go up. Go up and fight. And David came and he smote them and he whipped them royally. I mean, you know, David, he's a fierce fighter. You know in the Bible, after Jericho, and all Israel had the great battle to win of Jericho, and they did exactly as the Lord had instructed. The next battle they took off on their own and said, we can take care of this. And got whipped royally. You know, most times in our life, when we get to that point that we think for one iota of a second that we got this, we're in trouble. We're in trouble. Because we've got to stop what we're doing and inquire of our Lord. We understand who God is. We understand Jesus. So why do we take it for granted? You know, and we do that a lot. We really do. We don't stop to give due credit when credit is needed. You know, when you get up in the morning, you know, do you jump out of the bed, run in the shower, and on the way to the shower say, thank you, Lord, let me get through this day. You know, you're not giving God the credit for anything. You know, I'm too busy. You know, when we have a Father in heaven, it's never too busy for us.
Amen.
Who is always, always on the throne. Always, I'll never leave you, never forsake you. You know, and boy, we'll quote that. Man will quote that. He'll never leave you, never forsake you. Why do I feel so forsaken? Because I'm too busy in my own self to think about Him. I get caught up in self and what I want. And to think, oh, well, I've done this. I've been working for the city of North Myrtle Beach now 33 years. And I get up and say, I ought to know what I'm doing when I go to work. You know, I don't need to inquire of God about going to work. You know, I got this. I've been doing this 33 years. I'm telling you, whenever you get in the frame of mind that you got it, you're in trouble.
Amen.
You are in trouble. Because the one on the throne knows your need before you even ask. But that doesn't mean you don't need to ask. What does he say in the Bible? You have not, for you ask not.
Right.
So obviously, we have to ask. You know, the world today just gets all caught up in all these Bibles. But they don't think about, they just going around. It's the same thing day after day. Well, I'm going to tell you something, brothers and sisters. When that sun comes up in the morning and you open your eyes and draw that breath and look at it, it's a new day. It's the start of a new day. It's the start of a new life. It's the start of a new time. You know, you're not promised the next day. You're not promised a thing. So you know what we need to do is we need to quit walking around and saying all this and doing all this. You know, the children for 40 years, they walked around and around and around and around. He said, it's time now to go. It's time to go. You know? Then you have all the people that tell you what you need to stand still. You know? Stand still, see the salvation of the Lord. Well, I'm telling you right now, you don't know whether to go or stop if you don't ask. You know? Most of us, you know, we just get up and go. When you ask, he might tell you to sit down. You know? I'm so amazed at what was done for us. When you start thinking about it, if you ever think about what was done for us and what little is really required of us. Gary, you said it. Present your body a living sacrifice, which is reasonable service. It's just reasonable. You know? And of course, we preachers, we like to say, you know, that means come to church. You know, we're going to use that. You know, you don't come to church, so I'm going to say the Lord said, present, you know. But what it's saying is, present your body every day.
Amen.
Every day.
It's true.
Every day. We're the ones that narrow it down. You know, so let's all be honest here. Present your body a living sacrifice every day of your life. Not just when it's convenient. Not when you feel like you got to have it. You know, it's a full-time job presenting yourself. You know. But David here, he inquired. And the Lord told him to go. Well, the Philistines, they gathered themselves together. And they come again. Now, you and I would think that we would go, well, I just whipped them. I just whipped them. I'll just go whip them again. But David didn't. He stopped again. And the Lord told him and said, and David inquired of the Lord and lost, thou shalt not go up. You're not going. Not only that, he basically told him to go run and hide in the mulberry trees. Go over yonder and hide over yonder in the trees. You know, go over there. And he says, and when you see the sound of the goings in the top of the mulberry trees, then, you see what he told him? You know, we can get so bold in what we believe, and we can quote scripture with the best of them. But there's sometimes you need to go over yonder and sit down. You know, you need to sit down and get your mouth shut and wait on the Lord. You know, so, I mean, old David, he says, and when you see, this is not your fight. You know, it's not your fight. You hear the sound. When you see them leaves rustling in those trees, he said, then. You see, my point here is we've got to pay attention.
Amen.
We've got to pay attention. It's not a God that we use when we want to use Him. And we carry Him when we carry Him. It's a full-time commitment that we make. Not just on Sunday morning. Just as much on Monday morning as on Sunday morning. I used to tell people, I said, you'll do more preaching with the soles of your feet than you ever will do with your mouth. I said, it's because when the Lord said, let your little light shine, people are looking at you. When you profess that you're walking the walk and talking the talk, you know, you have an enemy. You have an enemy that's working just as diligently as he can to take away something the Lord has given you. You know, I've said this over again. He said, your enemy has been tried, convicted, and been sentenced. It hadn't carried out yet. And the only power he has is to take away your joy. He has no power over death. He lost that on the cross. When Jesus fought the final battle. No, it's not Armageddon, the final battle that the world wants you to tell. The final battle that was fought was on the cross of Calvary. When Jesus himself said, Father, it's finished. It was a done deal. So the final battle was over. The final battle is won. So the only power he has over you at all is to take away your joy right here now. Exactly, brother. Right here. That's all the power he has. And he can use anything or any point. See, we have got to study and realize that we have a Lord who is going to guide us continuously. Now, you know, sometimes you wait and call on the Lord and you pray under the Lord and you go ahead and do it anyway, the way you want to do it, you know. That's where we are. That's where we are, you know. Because depending upon Him solely, totally, you know, well, how I know it's the Lord? I'm going to tell you right now, and I believe this with all my heart and all my soul. When He speaks, and you're a child, you know who He is. You cannot deny it. You might want to deny it. It might make you want to shrug. It might make want you to cry. It might make want you to back up. But you know who it is. The Bible said, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. My sheep know who I am. I know who they are. So don't play ignorant here. You're not playing ignorant here. He knows. You know. You know. I've had people come to me all the time and says, I'm looking for a sign that the Lord will give me that I'm doing what's right and doing what's wrong. And I looked at the young man and I said, look, the last sign God gave us was when Jesus died upon the cross. I said, it was finished. I said, there ain't no more signs. I said, the next time you see Jesus, I said, he'll be coming in a cloud. And he ain't coming down here to walk on this earth. He's coming to call you up. I said, the Bible's very plain. It says those in the graves are going to go first and the rest of us. I said, that's the next sign that you'll see. I said, all the signs are given. The word is given. It's all done. It's a finished work. It's all done. The only thing that we have to do is focus on him and cling to him and look to him, realizing that he is the all in all. He's the all. You know, we can pray, you know, we can pray for this and pray for that, you know, and we do. But you know, the Bible says, you know, you pray amiss. You know, and we do that. We do that. So even when I'm on my knees praying, I can pray amiss. You know, because I don't understand. I told somebody the other day, I said, if a man comes along and tells you he understands this Bible totally from one end to the other, you better run from him as hard as you can. You know, I know men that know more than I know. I'll grant you that. But I'm telling you right now, this right here has mysteries in it, and you can read it over and over again. And if the Lord decides to enlighten you to a little bit, you're blessed.
Amen.
You are blessed. Just to understand grace. Just understand, you're blessed. Because the world today puts a butt on grace. You know? But you understand, it's unmerited. The grace of God is the greatest gift that we could understand. Just say the word grace. You know? Well, I believe in, why is it my life perfect? I'm telling you right now, your life is perfect. You know, trials and tribulations. Brother Ralph spoke of the wrath of God. The wrath of God is for your improvement. You know, if the Father didn't love you, he would not put his wrath upon you. You know, we joy in trials and tribulation. Hard to say sometimes when you're going through it. But I'm telling you right now, I've walked through many a fire. And when I got to the other side, I'm sitting there thinking, how in the world did I get out of this? And then you realize who has carried you through those times. Who has brought you out? You know? And to recognize that is just as well as saying grace. Because you realize by the grace of God, you are who you are. You know? And the trials and the tribulations, I told the other day at the church, I said, I heard a song, old bluegrass song, says, I wouldn't give nothing from a journey now. You know, I know y'all heard it. I've heard it on the radio on bluegrass. I wouldn't give nothing from a journey now. I'm telling you, I wouldn't give nothing from a journey now. No, sir. You know, it ain't perfect where I am. It ain't perfect. Don't nobody get me wrong. It ain't perfect. But I'm telling you, I'm here. And I'm standing before God's people. I'm standing with God's people. And we're standing with one purpose and one thought. To give him all the honor and all the praise.
Amen.
It don't get no better than that. On this side of the grave. You know, that we're standing here. That we've all come together. You know, we came out and we gave up something to come here tonight. And I personally tell you what I gave up. Heartaches and hard times. I gave it up. Because I know if I get inside of God's house, and I know it's just as important about you as it is to me, when y'all come here and we all sit down together in a heavenly place and we all have one thought on our mind, our Lord and Savior. I know right then and right there, all the rest of that stuff is gone. Brother Gary saw me last weekend, last Friday. I had the worst neck. I'm telling you, I thought I would cry. It hurt so bad. And they put me in the stand to preach, and the only time I felt any relief was when I was standing in the stand. I even said, I believe I'll just stay here the rest of the day because just as soon as I walked out of the stand, that current come back. That's just like walking out that door right there. When you come in here and you sit down here and you hear about what Jesus did, what God has done, and how your life has changed, and how wonderful it is, and all the aches and pains and all. You know, this is a glimpse of what heaven's going to be like. You know? I can't explain it to you, but I'm telling you, you're getting a glimpse of it because your aches and your pains and your work, they're gone. Because we're sitting here with one thought on our mind. If that old preacher would sit down and shut up. No, you're preaching God. Jesus. That's what we're here about. That's what we're here. We're not here for show. We're not here for anything else. We're come here for the rest that Jesus Christ said, come unto me, I'll give you rest. This is where our rest is. This is where our comfort is. This is where our relief is. To be gathered up. Because out there, there's no gathering up. The enemy is out there. I feel safe in here. I know he can come in, but he doesn't want to come in because we're all here for one purpose. To give God the honor. Give God the praise. You know? And when we do that, he ain't coming. He ain't coming in. Now you can drag him in with whatever you want to drag him in with, but I'm telling you right now, when you're here with the right frame of mind, and you've come boldly through the throne of grace, and you've left the world out there, it's waiting on you. When we leave, it'll be right out there. But what's amazing about it, when he says, when you sit here and you hear the sound of the wind and the tops of those mulberry trees. You know, this is what I come here today to hear, the sound of God's wind blowing in the tops of the mulberry trees. You know, because I know if I get a glimpse and hear it, it's going to be well. It's going to be beautiful. I know my enemy's waiting on me. David knew his enemy was waiting on him, but he said, just wait. He inquired of God. We've got to spend a little more time. You know, we spend more time in prayer, spend more time, but you know, I'm talking about a personal thing that you have with God, that you turn to him for everything. Everything. You know, our biggest problem is that when he speaks to us, sometimes we don't want to listen. Thank God that his son came and died upon that tree. The Bible tells you very plain, there's none good, no, not one. None righteous, no, not one. You know, the only righteousness we have is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He's our righteousness. He covered our sins. You know, I think about that a lot. When God tells us that I remember your sins no more, you know, why do we carry them? Why do we carry it with us? You know, sometimes we can't come boldly through the throne because we're letting something hold us back. Well, it's time, brother. You go back over to Deuteronomy. Go back over to Deuteronomy over there in the second chapter of Deuteronomy. It says, you have compassed this mountain long enough. Turn you northward. You know, you've carried this around with you long enough. You've walked around in circles. You've been on the outside long enough. You walked around. You know, you feel, you understand. But it's time now to turn you northward and set your course. You know, the path that God has laid before you is a path to follow. You know, to strive to be like Jesus. We can't be Jesus, but we try to be like Jesus. You know, the world today is looking for heroes or some image of somebody to follow. There's only one to follow. Jesus Christ. That's the only one to follow. How much life would be easier if we'd let it all down and realize that we need to step in and follow him? all the mercy and grace is just right before us. We just got to walk the path. Yeah. I thought about that a lot, David. How bold David was, but how when he came to be anointed by men, you know, he was anointed of God at Jesse's house, be king. You know, most of us, if God would have anointed us to be king, Brother Gary, we'd have just jumped right out and said, "I'm the king." You know, it took David a while to get there. You've been anointed also of God and been called out. Now the journey that laid before you is precious. And over in, I don't think I'm going to be able to quote it. I might be able to find it. But it's not in Revelations. But what old? It's 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, the 6th verse. And this is something that I have really been trying to drive into my head. "For I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. And I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course, and I have kept the faith." I have kept the faith. You know, I used to preach on and say that my faith is strong and my faith is weak. You know, I go back and remember this right here. I kept the faith. It didn't say I didn't question. It didn't say I didn't understand. It said, but I kept the faith. That's the important part here, is I kept the faith. "Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at the day, not only to me, but to all them that love his appearance." It don't get no better than that. It don't get no better than that right there. You know, it's laid up for you. All we got to do is keep our eye on the mark and keep the faith. Keep the faith. Thank you for your time.
Stand and sing a verse of "What a Friend."